We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, Michigan spring ball is wrapping up this week. They've got two more practices, one today on Thursday and their final practice of spring ball on Saturday. We'll get a chance to talk to Michigan offensive coordinator Josh Gattis in just a few minutes here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Every time we have a good play, we should be able to repeat that up with another good play of the same type. We shouldn't have, you know, you shouldn't run the same play twice and have one play be successful and one play be unsuccessful, and it come down to the details. And so the more consistent we can be with executing those details at a high level on every play to bring consistency, the better we'll be as a unit.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And I'm excited for you all to listen to the conversation that I had with Josh Gattis. As always, he's very good and very insightful as to what they want to accomplish this spring, what his expectations are for every position on this offense, and the expectations he has for himself. So that's to come here in just a little bit. But before we get there, my pal, Mr. Brian Bush, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. I miss you on the broadcast now that the season is over. What are you doing with all your free time?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll let you know when I have it all figured out. You know, normally the 9-to-5s are still fairly busy, but man, I miss that prep. It's a grind. There's a lot of work in there, a lot of late nights, but I miss it. And it was tough to watch the Final Four. It really was. I will say I do think the UCLA performance helped a little bit, because that wasn't me thinking, oh, Gonzaga was that beatable. It was, no, UCLA was really good too. So yeah. Still not easy by any stretch, but it was a good showcase for college basketball. And hey, I've seen a lot of those early season polls, and Michigan's at or near the top of a lot of them. So a lot to be excited about.
So I've got two questions for you. How often will you be coming out with a Defend the Block podcast? And then the second one is, more importantly, I heard from Juwan Howard that if there's any seniors, because they do have that extra year of eligibility, he has welcomed them all back. I know Isaiah Livers underwent surgery. He's going to have a 6-month rehab, which puts his back up against the wall in regards to, you know, finding things out and, you know, the NBA combine, the NBA draft. What's the likelihood that we see any of those guys come back for another year?
I do think it's possible, and I think that it's a testament to what Juwan Howard and this coaching staff have been able to create from a culture standpoint. Not only the willingness to sacrifice, to buy in, to go all in, as Juwan and the staff talks about a lot, but also, I mean, it's just a fun program to be around. And I really wonder, you know, it's one thing for Eli Brooks. He experienced an NCAA tournament that was quote-unquote normal. He experienced what it's like to play games inside Chrysler Center, some of the other hostile environments in the Big Ten. Man, if I'm Sean D., if I'm Mike Smith, after all the success and all the excitement of last year, you can't tell me they don't, at least in the back of their mind, think about what it'd be like to play in front of, you know, 12,000 plus at Chrysler and go to Breslin and go to Mackey and Assembly Hall. I mean, it would be, it'd be pretty cool. So I'm not sure at this point. In terms of Isaiah, I'm curious because think back to Charles Matthews. Matthews had that great postseason run in 2018. Then he got hurt during the draft process, which really prevented him from getting a whole lot in the way of footing. He's bounced around, had some opportunities in the NBA within the organization, but not many real life chances, you know, to establish playing time, stuff like that. So I'm not sure, but I will say this. I would be a little surprised if everyone left. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at least one comeback. Who that is, who the heck knows? That's just a guess. That's not any special information. I will tell you, though, to bridge to your first question, the plan is to continue, maybe not every Wednesday, but certainly most Wednesdays for Defend the Block. Yesterday, we had Kim Barnes-Zarico, and we also had a kind of a wrap of the men's side with Terry Mills. So the plan is to, you know, hear from the assistant coaches, hear from the new players, hear from some of the freshmen we didn't talk to a whole lot during this season, and we'll continue that. And, hey, in no time, we'll be in the midst of football season, gearing up for basketball, hopefully with a bunch of fans in there, because I know there's a lot of optimism there, too.
There is. And, hey, I don't know if anybody told you, but this is the start of football season, right? Basketball is over. I know baseball's going on right now. Football is winding down, spring football, but we have nothing to look forward to more than fall camp and a packed big house. I don't care what any doctor says I am planning on, and this is not a statement from the athletic department. This is my little disclaimer. I am planning on a packed big house. I want to see 111,000 people screaming this fall. We didn't get any of that last year, so I'm hopeful that we're going to have a full house in the big house this coming fall.
So again, my opinions on the basketball seniors and John's opinion about the big house do not reflect the University of Michigan, FYI, and their athletic department. They do not stand by that. We'll see if it actually happens. And John, you're such a liar, man. It wasn't, it's never been basketball season to you.
No,
You'd be watching 97 highlights during the national championship halftime show if Michigan were in it.
Yes, I would. But that's just how we roll in the Jansen house. It just always is. Try and play a part every once in a while and give some false enthusiasm, but it's really just all football all the time. So speaking of all football all the time, let's get to our 7 from 77 because we've got some sound bites to get to as well.
Yeah, with spring ball kind of tapering off here, as John alluded to, it finishes up this week. There have been some Wolverines speaking to the media in recent days. So let's share some of the most noteworthy items from some of the guys who spoke, beginning with a wide receiver and Mike Sanders. Still, many thought he had breakout potential going into 2021 before the news of Giles Jackson's transfer. Now that seems to be even more of a likelihood. Here's Mike on how this time of the year, spring ball, is so valuable from a growth standpoint.
I think it's the most important time to learn during the offseason. You know, you have all these months to gain more knowledge, to watch more film, to meet with coaches, so that way you know going into fall camp, you have the base of your offense, the base of your defense. You know, as a player, you have the base, like you learn the base fundamentals. You could go over techniques within all this time. So I think since I've been here, I've been a sponge to the game, of course. How I've always been, learning different things every single day.
And that's why this year's John is so valuable, because there was no spring ball last year.
Yeah, and I actually start off the conversation with Josh Gattis, and I don't want to give away too much, but the importance and the sense of urgency that they have on a daily basis and what they're trying to get done. And I finish with a question to Coach Gattis. What does he want to see from his offense going from the end of spring ball to the start of fall camp? And he mentioned just what Mike Sanders still was talking about, that the leaders of this offense have to continue that growth. They have to capture all of the gains that they've made throughout all of spring ball. They have to keep those things going. And it's film work. It's on the field with quarterbacks. It's working on routes. It's going one-on-one with the defensive backs. All of those things have to be done because the coaches have to take a step back. Not that they're not working. They're going to be working on game plans and film and doing all that stuff, but they can't have an on-field presence with the players. So it's going to be up to those seniors. Mike Sammer still is a junior. He's going to be one of those upperclassmen that has to lead some of these young players, like a Christian Dixon, like an Andrell Anthony when he gets on campus, like a Xavier Worthy, that they have to be able to coach those young guys up. And that's one thing that I learned as a player. It's one thing to be able to watch film and could coach yourself up and learn things yourself, but you get a deeper knowledge when you help those in your room, when you help those guys that are coming in as freshmen who don't have the experience, don't have the depth of knowledge. You get a greater depth of everything that you're responsible for when you actually coach up somebody else as well. So that's what they're going to have to be doing this summer.
Number two, of course, anytime an offensive player is available to the media, the quarterback position will come up. Here's what Mike says about the two players many believe are the top two contenders for that starting job, Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy.
Just watching the QBs compete, working with both of them. I really love both of them individually. I love them both as players, teammates. They've just both really been great. They're helping this team go towards the right direction.
And anytime a player on the offensive side is asked about the quarterback position, you normally get a non-answer answer like that one. But as we learned last year, regardless, whoever Michigan's one and two quarterbacks are going to be, they're both probably going to see the field at some point in 2021.
They will. And I think we'd all be foolish not to think that Cade McNamara is the leader in the clubhouse. He's the one that has the experience from starting a game last year, getting into a few games. And so he's the only one with that Big Ten game experience. And he's also been around the team a little bit longer, so guys know him a little bit more. He has a little bit more cachet when he asks receivers to go out, hey, let's go out and work on these routes, or let's go out, let's see if we can find a couple of defensive players so that we can have some 7-on-7. You've got to have that from your quarterback. J.J. McCarthy is right now trying to figure out where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, and what he's supposed to be doing, how he's supposed to be doing it. When he gets all of those questions answered, then he'll have another level of comfort. And that's the beauty of having these, mid-year enrollees, early enrollees, as a lot of people call them, is they get a chance to figure those things out. They get a summer to watch more film. They actually get to watch themselves because they had something put on film during spring ball. And going into fall camp, they're just a little bit ahead of any of those individuals that are just showing up on campus. So it's a matter of leadership. It's a matter of experience. And it's just a matter of going out there and mastering that position and continuing to develop and be the quarterback that Michigan needs them to be.
Number three on our 7 from 77. Elsewhere on that offense, there's a lot of enthusiasm around a guy like Blake Corum. We've talked about Michigan attempting to find a quote-unquote workhorse back, but even if Corum's not the prototypical tailback in the backfield, he can affect things on that offense. We'll hear from him in a moment, but first, what do you expect out of Blake Corum after he got some time as a true freshman a year ago?
I expect him to be a playmaker. I expect him to be a guy that's not only you can hand him the ball, but you can throw him the ball, whether it's in screens, whether it's out in the slot. You've got to get a guy like Blake Corum the ball as many times as possible, because when he gets in the open field, he's gone. There's nobody that's going to catch him. And that is the game-changing speed that you have to have. But he also has to be able to go out there, have the opportunity, and execute and come through in those. And that's what I expect from Blake Corum this coming fall.
So Corum, he's one of those typical you hear a lot during these times of the offseason, the player to watch. So Corum was asked about other guys who've stepped up and been people to watch standing out over the last few weeks. And well, Blake gave an answer that warms the heart of Mr. John Jansen.
I wouldn't just say one guy in general. This spring ball, a lot of guys have stood out. And I'll tell you one thing, our offensive line is looking really good right now. They've definitely caught my eye this spring ball. Just the way they, like I said, attack every day. And they attack it like they want to do some damage. And so the O-line is definitely putting in some work. So I would say the O-line.
That's how you warm up to the broadcast crew here at Michigan. And you also how you warm up to the guys up front. That's nice to shout them out.
It is. That young man learns real quickly, which is great, because when you have the speed like Blake Corum has, if you just get to that linebacker level, if you get to the edge, you get an opportunity to showcase what you could do, and you have explosive speed and space opportunity. And we've been waiting for that speed and space for 2 years now. Blake Corum is one of those guys that can make that happen. And for him to be successful, this offensive line has to find a way to gel. They're going to have, you know, a unit of five out there that's not going to be the same units that they had last year. So they got to figure out how to work together, how to play together, how to do everything together. And the better they can do that, the better off this Michigan football team is going to be.
So number five, speaking of that offensive line, John, I know a guy you've loved really since he signed with this program, Zach Zinter. He's a bruiser, a player who's drawn rave reviews from you and others. Got some opportunities last season as a true freshman. And here's Zach on the value of those opportunities.
Getting in the games, honestly, was huge. Just that experience is something you can't really create other than playing in the game itself. So, I mean, the experience was incredible, and I think I've come a very long way from a year ago when I stepped on campus as an early enrollee.
Of course, John, you got plenty of playing time early in your career. Just how much of a difference does that make after you get indoctrinated, you learn the plays, you learn the terminology, but then you actually get to go out there and use it?
Yeah, the second opportunity you get, and by second opportunity, I'm talking about having, you know, some playing time, and then you have an opportunity to get bigger, faster, stronger. You know more about what you're training for and what you need to be ready for when you have, you know, that experience. And Zach Zinter now has that. He's getting a spring ball. He's going to get a summer. He's going to have another training camp. And so he's going to know better going in there. You know, just the confidence of the game slowing down mentally, the offense. He's not going to be thinking about the verbiage. It's more going to be second nature to him. He's not going to have to be focusing on the snap count. That should be second nature to him, whether it's on 1, 2, 3, silent, doesn't matter how many claps they have. It's going to be a matter of he's going to go out there and be able to be the player that I know he can be and that everybody else expects him to be. If you were to design a player, Zach Zinter is going to be playing offensive guard. He's a tremendous athlete. He runs well. He moves his feet well. He bends well. He doesn't get off balance. He's just got that natural ability to deliver a blow, stay on balance, not get overextended. I'm really excited what he's going to be able to be, not just this coming year, but his football career is as bright as you would expect.
Number six, a defensive player did get an opportunity to speak to the media, Taylor Upshaw. He was asked about, well, the team's edges. Maybe not called the edges, a little different nickname, one that Taylor himself created.
We call ourselves the Reapers, you know, because this is a really important defense position we play. Allows us to make a lot of plays. So I think it's going to come down to a lot of games. We're going to have to affect the game a lot. But I think mainly it's just like to wreak havoc. You know, that's what I want us to go into games. That's what I want, you know, us to do, because I know the talent we have. We have a lot of talent in this room, undeniable talent. And I think this defense is going to give us a chance to eat. I think it's going to give us a chance to show our true ability. And when you see us on Saturdays, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be the Reapers. We're going to be wreaking havoc.
Thoughts on the nickname and on the team's group of Reapers?
Well, right now I have zero thoughts on the nickname, because I want to see these guys on the edge. I know what Aiden Hutchinson can do. I want to see him be healthy and go out there and do it. I want to see Taylor Upshaw be able to put things together and go out there and do it. I want to see them wreak havoc. I want to see the talent that we've heard about, that they've recruited, go out there and, as he says, eat. And show their ability. I want to see that before I have any thoughts on giving nicknames, hearing nicknames. I just want these players to go out there and play.
Number seven, we're going to hear from Josh Gattis here today. And you know, John, this feels like kind of a buy low time in terms of perception for this Michigan offense. So much hype around the Josh Gattis speed and space in year one, and we saw that upward trajectory. It just wasn't enough, a little too late. Last season, tough to draw too many wide-reaching conclusions. Obviously, it wasn't good enough in the 2020 season, but does that mean the system won't work? I don't necessarily think so. It could be a buy low time, most certainly a big year. This offense has to be a positive storyline for this team to accomplish the goals that it has, doesn't it?
It does, and that storyline is going to start with the offensive line, as it always does. You've got to have a unit that they find, whoever their best five are, that can go out there and be physical, that can play as one unit so that there's no missteps, there's no miscommunications, there's no missed assignments, and they can go out there and just let it all hang out and be physical. And then you start putting pieces together. You start being able to utilize the tight end. You've got speed. You've got power in the backfield with Blake Corum that we just talked about, Hassan Haskins. You've got some young guys and Donovan Edwards and Tavier Dunlap who could go out there and add some elements to this offense. It's the receivers. You know, it's you need to have Ronnie Bell have a season that you would expect a senior to have and lead, not just by production, but by example. And there's nobody that I would love to have leading this group of wide receivers than Ronnie Bell, because when you watch him practice, when you watch him catch the ball, everything is done in an aggressive manner. Everything is done with trying to get an extra yard, trying to make a catch, trying to make sure that you are giving Michigan an advantage. And then it all boils down to the development of the quarterback. Who is that quarterback going to be? What type of leader are they going to be? Who is going to follow? That is going to determine the success or lack thereof of this offense in 2021.
Before we get to Josh Gattis, our weekly Bacon Fact, and John, per a YouGov poll back in 2019, the BLT has dropped from the second most popular sandwich in the U.S. to number 5. Fourth is roast beef. Third is turkey. Second is grilled chicken. And first is grilled cheese. Your thoughts first on a BLT? I'm not a big tomato guy. I think there are better uses of bacon and lettuce, like, you know, with a hamburger or a cheeseburger. But your thoughts on BLT and also that top five? Obviously, we're not going to go super, you know, these aren't detailed sandwiches. You can add the toppings you'd like, but pretty standard. I don't have a whole lot in the way of complaints with that.
I do. I have many complaints. I'm okay with the grilled cheese at the top, but grilled chicken, turkey sandwich. I mean, come on. Like, those are just so common. There's nothing special about it. It doesn't do anything to excite your taste buds. Yes, it's healthy and fine. All right, we're all living in a healthier world. We're all trying to be healthier. BS. You know what? If you're going to have a sandwich, go out there and have yourself a bacon sandwich. Cut out the lettuce. Cut out the tomato. It's a waste of space. Instead of putting a pound of bacon on there, let's go with a pound and a half of bacon and get yourself some pretzel bread, right? Make this sandwich something that makes your taste buds absolutely sing and tell you thank you, because a turkey sandwich, a chicken sandwich is not going to get it done. Now, the grilled cheese, done right, butter on both sides of the bread, little American cheese in the middle, add a little bit of bacon bits to it, and you got yourself an absolute home run.
Bacon bits, man. I used to go back in the day with just the full bacon strips, man. You throw those in there toward the tail end? Heck yeah.
Well, I want to save as much bacon for my bacon sandwich as possible, and I'll use whatever might fall off, the crumbs, I could sprinkle that onto my grilled cheese. So for me, it would go bacon sandwich, grilled cheese, bacon sandwich, grilled cheese, bacon sandwich. That's my top five.
You would have hated number 6. I believe it was tuna.
Tuna, oh, yes. I'll replace my top five with my number 5 with that roast beef sandwich. Roast beef, that's on the approved list. But you know who else is on the approved list is Josh Gattis, because he is going into his third year as an offensive coordinator. He continues to improve as a play caller, continues to improve in coaching his coaches and coaching his players. Please enjoy the conversation that I had with offensive coordinator Josh Gattis. Well, as we do every spring, we get a chance to take a look at the entire offense, and we do that with the returning offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis. Coach Gattis, thanks for joining us, and I know you guys are wrapping up spring ball, but how's it been for you so far?
It's been good. It's been really productive, you know, just to be able to get spring practice in, you know, which has been different than, you know, last year. But, you know, seeing, you know, a lot of guys, obviously on offense, we had a number of mid-year freshmen that joined us this January. So it's the first opportunity to be a part of the team, get those guys caught up, letting those guys learn early. But then having a number of guys that have played for us in the past, younger guys that got some game experience last year, you know, letting those guys, you know, go out there with confidence and really get those game-like reps in spring. And so it's been really productive, really like where we are. Knock on wood, we're pretty healthy as far as on the offensive side of the ball. So that's the one thing you always hope for when you leave out spring, that you don't leave out losing anybody that you started spring off with.
And obviously, you know, you guys didn't have any spring last year. Has it increased the urgency that you feel in these 15 practices to get more in, to get more done?
Well, you know, it has, but also there's just increased focus on, you know, finding ways to do what we do better. You know, increased focus on fundamentals, detail, you know, getting everybody to play together and just do their assignment each and every play. But we have thrown a lot at them. You know, we obviously, in spring, it allows you to fully install everything you have. And trust those guys to rely on their rules and techniques. And so, you know, I really give credit to the players. You know, they showed up each and every day with tremendous attitude, ready to learn and, you know, really showing a competitive nature. And that's one of the things that, you know, has really been noticeable in practice is just the, you know, the energy that they've been bringing and you know, the willingness to compete, you know, each and every day and not having any bad days, any days where you got to be motivated by a coach or whatsoever. You know, I think the ownership, you know, that the players have shown of just taking this team over, putting it in their hands, has been, you know, an improvement and something that we look forward to.
Now, I know there's been some changes in the coaching staff, more on the offensive side. It's more, you know, relocating. Obviously, Sherrone Moore going from tight ends to O-line and Jay Harbaugh going from running backs to tight ends and a position that he's familiar with. But you look at the coaching ranks, and even though you've only been here 3 years, that veteran status is getting pretty steep.
Yeah, it definitely is. Just overall on the staff and, you know, obviously you know, really excited about, you know, Coach Moore coaching the offensive line, you know, the energy and, you know, wisdom of the whole offense that he brings. You know, I think one of the, you know, greatest, you know, strengths for him is, you know, obviously being able to see it from, you know, a different side of the grass, to say the least, you know, when, you know, being from the tight end standpoint, his experience and, you know, one thing that people often don't understand is, you know, for the last few years, our tight ends have been at the point of attack for us in the run game. And so, you know, they've been heavily involved in all that aspect. And just his understanding of our offense and what we want to get accomplished has made it an easy transition moving over to the offensive line. But then also, you know, adding Mike Cart, you know, I think Mike Cart's been a tremendous asset for us. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's going to be a head coach one day. You see his demeanor, his leadership, you know, his no kind of joke approach, you know, especially with the players, just holding those guys accountable. And really, you know, providing, you know, just a, you know, kind of another alpha male presence on the offensive side of the ball that's not willing, you know, he's not, you know, Mike will speak his mind, you know, he'll address the guys in the right way and get the best out of them. And that's what we need, you know, for these guys. And then, you know, obviously with Jay Harbaugh going to tight ends and then obviously Matt Weiss coming in at quarterback, we're excited about our offensive staff.
Now, I've asked you this question each year that you've been here, and because I'm always curious as to how you improve as an offense, but even as a coach. So you're going into your third year. How do you continue to develop yourself and work on, you know, we always talk about mastering your craft. For me as a lineman, it was more specifically, it was right tackle. I wanted to master that position. What do you do in the off season and during spring ball to master your craft and continue to develop as a play caller?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it starts with the staff, just mastering, teaching the staff, you know, in order for our players to go out and execute the details that we want on every play, We've got to be great teachers on the offensive side of the ball. And if there's a disconnect in how you want it to look and what they're doing, there's something that you have to challenge yourself to figure out, how can I better teach them? And it's got to start with better teaching the staff, making sure that we're, you know, we're as detailed as possible on every play, and everyone understands, you know, and no one, you know, oftentimes, sometimes what goes unnoticed on coaches, and even from my side, you assume someone else knows what you want, or, you know, another coach may assume that this is the way you want it done, and you don't know until the play is ran whether or not it's executed the proper way. And so, you know, eliminating assuming has been a big emphasis, you know, for me, and just making sure, you know, whether or not we've got to, you know, talk about things in detail. And sometimes it can be boring to coaches, you know, because you're going over base plays, but making sure that all the guys in the room are on the same page and we're able to talk about, you know, the fundamentals of a play, or, you know, the intent of a play, and making sure our players understand the intent of the play. So I think that's a big piece, because, you know, our mistakes haven't come in, you know, X's and O's, have come in execution. And that's a big part of the game. And just having that consistency, and that's one of the things that we want to improve for our players is, you know, every time we have a good play, we should be able to repeat that up with another good play of the same type. We shouldn't have, you know, you shouldn't run the same play twice and have one play be successful and one play be unsuccessful, and it come down to the details. And so the more consistent we can be with executing those details at a high level on every play to bring consistency, the better we'll be as a unit.
And numbers really won't be an issue this year, because you've got some guys that are coming in. New Willie Allen on the offensive line. Andrew Vistardis is getting the sixth year. Adding, you know, to that, some of those guys that are coming back are obviously the incoming freshmen. Let's start with the offensive line. What have you seen from the development of the offensive line? And you mentioned this earlier, like Zach Zinter got some great experience last year. Chuck Filiaga got some experience last year. Andrew Stuber. And you also had some injuries, so you had more guys get experience. What have you seen from the development of the offensive line this spring?
Yeah, you know, let me touch your first point. I'm excited, because this is the first time in 2 years that we haven't had to have a wholesale change. You know, 2 years ago coming in, the lack of depth that we had at running back and the, you know, the roster that, you know, that we had, you know, we had all brand new players at running back to start the season that had never touched the football in a game like scenario. And then you go into last year, having to replace, you know, four starters on the offensive line with all guys that have never really started or played in games before. And so, you know, when you've got that amount of attrition that, you know, totally wipes away a position each year, you know, there's challenges that you go in and you have to, you know, approach with. But, you know, coming into this offseason, there's no major attrition. You know, we feel like we've got good depth across the board, maybe not as deep at some positions, but we got quality depth with players that have played or started in games. And so, you know, one of the key, you know, positions for us at the offensive line is obviously having a bunch of guys that have returned and played. And when you look at, you know, our offensive line, you know, we've got about six guys on the offensive line that have played in games or started in games. You know, the unfortunate piece to last year was the rotation of guys and the number of players. We didn't have one consistent offensive line for the six games we started, because there was injuries, there was COVID. So, you know, we were able to play, you know, three true freshmen up front. And, you know, one of them being Zach Zinner, one of them being, you know, Trevor Keegan and Carson Barnhart, who, those guys got valuable game experience getting out there, having a start. So, but when it starts to the offensive line, it starts with Zach Zinner. You know, he's the, you know, he's the bell cow, to say the least. You know, he's just a pure man mover, very smart. He's got tremendous, you know, flexibility as far as some positions, can play the center position, can play guard. He's really been the guy that's really led our offensive line up front from a talent standpoint. But when you look at the older veterans that are returning, and Andrew Vistardis and Andrew Stuber, you know, those guys have had a really, really solid spring. I mean, Andrew Stuber's playing, you know, his best football, and that's what you hope for a guy that's, you know, going into his fifth year, is that they start to hit their peak. And, you know, he's faced some challenges with a club on his hand, but he hasn't let it turn himself down. He's out there blocking guys with one hand, and it's been impressive. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have Ryan Hayes back out there for the full spring. You know, he was a guy that, you know, started the first game last year, and then we completely lost him for the rest of the season. And so getting him caught back up, you know, getting, you know, kind of his feet wet back again. And, you know, he's been playing at a really high level. And then Trevor Keegan, you know, having Trevor Keegan and Chuck Filiaga, you know, those two guys who have battled before at the guard position provide us tremendous depth and flexibility there. And then there's been some young guys that have come along, you know, with Percy and Nolan Rumbler. Then you mentioned Willie Allen, you know, and even Crippen, Greg Crippen, who's a true freshman. You know, he's emerged as our number two center. And so I really like the depth. I like how these guys are playing together. I like how they're communicating all on one page. You know, the hardest thing you try to get together with an offensive line is the chemistry and the pass protection, making sure that everyone's on the same page. And Coach Moore has done a tremendous job teaching those guys, and they're all playing, you know, as one.
And I know that we've experienced this in the past where you've got five guys and they go out there and they're your best five guys and they play really well together. And then all of a sudden you get one that goes down maybe in week two and you get another one that has to miss, whether it's snaps or a half or a game later in the season. Do you feel like you've got good quality of depth so that when if a guy has to miss time, whoever is up next on that offensive line is going to be able to step in and perform the same as that starter was?
We do. We do. We feel like the depth is improving. You know, like mentioned those guys, Nolan Rummer, Trente Jones, you know, even having Carson Barnhart, you know, Chuck Filiaga. We got a lot of pieces. You know, I think the challenge, you know, for us offensively up front is it's really trying to figure out who those best players are and whether or not we have to play musical chairs to get our best five on the field. And that, I believe, is the biggest challenge on the O-line. Oftentimes, you got a guy like Andrew Stuber, who's now starting for us at right tackle, but he has tremendous flexibility to be able to play guard. You have Zach Zinner, who starts for us at guard, but has tremendous flexibility to play center. And so in a perfect world, you know, you would just plug in the next guy. But for us, with the depth that we have and the talent that we have, I think the challenge is not trying to get into the musical chairs game because, you know, you don't want to start just moving, having wholesale changes where you move, you know, four guys around for one guy substituting in because those bank reps matter. You know, playing tackle is different than playing guard. Playing on the right side is different than playing on the left side. And so eventually, hopefully, we get to a point where we feel very, very confident enough that, you know, if it's a guard that goes down, it's a guard that goes in to replace. That way we can keep the consistency among each and every individual player the same.
We'll work our way out and start again with the tight ends. Eric All last year, we know he can run, he can block. We saw him have some issues with, you know, some dropped passes. We saw Luke Schoonmaker get in there and get some time. What have you seen from that tight end position, and how do you develop the confidence in a player like Eric All? Because I see it in practice. I see him make great catches. I see him do those things. How do you build confidence in him so he can take that to the game field?
That's the whole key with Eric. You know, we've got a handful of guys that we would consider probably great practice players, but we've got to now find a way to allow those guys to be great game players. And Eric's another one of those guys where, you know, his talent hasn't really displayed itself in game-like situations. The catches, the ability that he displays each and every day in practice, we've got to build that confidence up with him and making sure that, you know, we don't let him hang on a negative play. I think one of the things as a play caller that, you know, I've discussed this offseason is, you know, if he drops the ball or he doesn't make a play, try to find a way to come back to him to try to build that confidence. Because he is, you know, these kids go on confidence. You know, when it's good, they're good. When it's bad, they're bad. And so the ability to make sure as a staff that we're, you know, we're following that closely and, you know, certain guys need certain touches to get themselves going. And Eric's another one of those guys. And so that's the biggest thing, is just building the confidence up in the tight end room that those guys can go out there and successfully execute at a high level each and every play, because we have such a really good room. Luke Schoonmaker, you know, getting Matt Hibner, and then also adding Joel Honiford over in that room. And then another guy who's had a tremendous spring is Carter Seltzer for us. He's a guy that that plays the Y and the H position. But ultimately, it's about getting those guys as confident as possible, obviously as physical as possible in the run game, and then bringing viable options for us in the pass game.
The wide receiver position, I know it's one that you know, you are very involved in, obviously being the coordinator as well as the wide receiver coach. Ronnie Bell is the veteran in there, and you and I have talked about the need to have speed at the wide receiver position. Do you have the speed that you are hoping to have at that position? And whether it's junior, sophomore, freshman, is it the speed that differentiates some of these guys?
We finally have the speed needed. And now I feel better that we've come along with the detail, you know, and you know, we've got some guys right now that are playing at a really high level from a detail standpoint. Cornelius Johnson and Mikey Sanders still right now. Those two guys stand out when you walk out to our field. Seeing the level of consistency that they're playing with, the plays that they're making, you know, are plays that they're making because of the detail, not just because of how athletic or how fast they are. They're applying the whole toolbox to allow those guys to be open. And then having a veteran leader like Ronnie Bell, but then also having the depth that we have at receiver with A.J. Henning, Roman Wilson, and then also adding our two freshmen, Andrew Anthony, Christian Dixon, and then hope we'll, you know, this summer we'll end up getting in Xavier Worthy. So we've got speed. We've got a very fast room. They're athletic. They can run, they can move with the ball in their hand. But now it's about adding the detail, the route savviness, to be able to create the separation to be open.
When I played, and I know when you played, there was, you want to have both, right? You want to have size and length, and you want to have speed. If you have to make a choice, is speed the one that you're looking for when you're looking at high school players?
Now it is, John. I'll tell you, there's years ago, I didn't think speed mattered. You know, I was fortunate enough to coach a bunch of places where I coached really good receivers who weren't fast guys. And I coached them from a technique standpoint and fundamental standpoint. They were all very successful. And then there came a time in my career where I got a chance to coach guys that had speed, and they made my coaching 10 times better. You know? Yes. So when the guy has the ability to take a short play and turn it into a long play, that takes coaching out of the window. That's all DNA. And so speed is a very, very important piece, and not just linear speed, but movement speed. Sometimes you can have bigger guys that may test well. They may be linear, more linear guys. Chris Godwin was a guy that, you know, has been to the Pro Bowl now, and obviously just signed his franchise tender with the Buccaneers. But he was a guy I had that was a bigger straight line guy. He wasn't a linear movement guy. Well, when you have guys that can move with the ball in their hand, and they can become movement guys where they can create that yards after catch, explosive plays out of little plays, those guys are what the game comes down to as far as difference makers. And, you know, we have a number of those guys, and specifically not only at the wide receiver position, but at the running back position. And also, when you look at Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, those two guys are as loose as they come with the ball in hand out in space.
What's it mean for you when you play, or when you see a player that you coached in college and now in the NFL? You mentioned Chris Godwin, who just signed that franchise tender. That's a big-time deal for an NFL wide receiver. But more importantly, the team aspect, he goes on to win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As a college coach, and you know you've only got them for a small window, and hopefully they go on to play and do better things in the NFL, what's it mean for you to see a guy play at that level and have that success?
Tremendous pride. You know, I have tremendous pride in all of my players, not just the ones that, you know, go on to play in the NFL, but also the ones that have been fortunate enough. I've got a few players that – I've got six former players that are now coaches. So if you think anything makes me feel old, that makes me feel old more than anything. Yeah. And I'm very proud of those guys because they're passionate. They've developed, you know, from you know, the game of football. But more so, I think what it is, it's a it is obviously very rewarding to see guys achieve their dreams playing this game, but it also allows you to be able to coach guys the way you want to coach them and coach them hard. Because, you know, at the end of the day, these kids all want to go on and be successful. They want to be, you know, NFL players and chase their dreams. They want to be successful as a receiver. And so it just reconfirms to them that the base details and everything that you're teaching, if they just trust the process and apply those each and every day, there is a final outcome that they can't achieve. And so I've been very proud of, you know, the guys that I've been fortunate enough to be around, you know, whether I've coached them 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I'm as proud of all my former players, and that's a relationship that I forever hope to cherish and keep close to me. Is when I coach guys hard, I want to coach them hard, but we also want to have that personal relationship with them.
We're talking to Josh Gattis on today's edition of In the Trenches, Michigan's offensive coordinator as well as wide receiver coach. We've got a couple of more positions that I want to talk to you about, and we'll slide into the backfield. That's a running backs. You've got some veteran experience in there in Hassan Haskins, still a young guy in Blake Corum, and a couple of very young freshmen that are coming in with a lot of talent. What are some of the assets that you feel this running back room has?
I think this running back room has a lot of different pieces that complement each other. You know, when you look at Hassan Haskins, his physicality, he's a guy that in a normal practice scenario where it's a tag off period, you know, you're going to look good as a defender because you're just going to be able to swipe your hand past them and say, I tagged him off. Well, Hassan's physicality, his balance, body control, and contact balance, he's one of the hardest backs I've been around to tackle. You know, he's so strong at the point of attack, but he's a guy that's shown that in games. And then you have a guy like Blake Corum, who I think is really a combination of everything, strength, speed, and power. But now we've been able to see the growth of Blake from year one to year two. I think one of Blake's biggest challenges last year is he relied so heavily on his speed. So oftentimes, you know, he didn't have patience going to the hole. And now he's understood now what it takes to be a high-level collegiate running back and the plays he's been making in practice. We all know once he gets to the second level, he's gone. There's no one that can run with him or catch him. He's been able now to have a better feel for vision and patience, and it's really paid off for him. And he's also got elite ball skills out of the backfield. And Donovan Edwards, you know, there's as I've said before, you know, there's certain guys you say, well, that guy's a quote-unquote five-star. Well, it's pretty obvious when you look at players that they're going to be labeled a five-star, you want them to look like something. And Donovan has met those expectations. He's flashed each and every day on the field, not only with his ability to run the ball, but his ability to catch the ball. You know, he had a big play yesterday in practice where he ran up the sideline for, you know, 50 yards. And you know, he's special. I think it's going to continue to take time for him to grasp the whole offense down so he can continue to have that discipline on every play and the consistency on every play. But he's going to have a very, very bright future here at Michigan. He's what, you know, those three guys are what the running back room should supposed to look like here at Michigan. And you're really, really high and excited about him. And then also adding Tavier Dunlap, you know, who's a guy who started coming on late this spring. And, you know, he's really, you know, putting together a very solid spring mentally and fundamentally. And, you know, we're excited about all those guys. And so, you know, we don't have as much depth with only having four scholarship running backs. But we feel pretty darn good with what we have. And, you know, obviously being able to add some, you know, some quality backups in there with Lucas Andrighetto and you know, Danny Hughes and guys like that who've been good to us.
How do you – I don't want to say, you know, divide up carries because there's more to being a running back than carries, but how do you divide up opportunities in that running back room? And how important is it for a running back to get into a rhythm in a game and be able to get multiple carries?
You know, rhythm is very, very important. Game flow is very, very important. And the number one key thing, you know, to game flow is just not letting the games get out of hand. Staying on track, staying, you know, ahead of schedule. And that was our biggest challenge last year. It wasn't necessarily running football. You know, it was our ability to maintain the game that we wanted to have throughout the game. You can't fall behind the sticks, you know, and end up in third and longs or fall behind, you know, the scoreboard, you know, down by, you know, 14 or 17 early in games because it changes the way the game goes. And so when you've got a room full of backs and, you know, you want to be committed to letting those guys have good game flow and touches, you've got to stay committed. But the biggest thing is staying committed is keeping the game within reach that you, it allows you to call it the way you need to call it. And so it's definitely important that we get those guys in a rhythm early on and find as many ways that those guys can touch the ball. Obviously there's only one football and there's, you know, but you know, whether it's, you know, catches out of the backfield, whether it's handoffs, we've got a lot of guys on the offense that deserve the ball, but most importantly, we've got to make sure our running backs get in rhythm and get the ball early.
And you mentioned making those calls and staying ahead of the sticks and staying on schedule. There's going to be a new signal caller for you this year. And I know Cade, I say new, Cade McNamara obviously had some starts last year, got some great opportunity. You've got Dan Villari, you've got J.J. McCarthy. When you look at this quarterback room, and how important is it to, one, continue to develop all of those players so that you've got great competition and you, and that decision is hard to make? And how much do you want somebody to be able to separate themselves so that decision is easy to make?
Well, you know, I think for us, it's about, you know, trying to create as many game-like scenarios to put the quarterbacks in, you know, real contested scenarios, because that's the hardest thing about a quarterback. You never really know about a quarterback until you put them in game scenarios. And obviously, Cade's experience, you know, the players believe in him, his leadership. He has a tremendous understanding of the offense. You know, he's a leader. You know, he moves the ball for the team. He moves the ball for the offense, and he takes control and command. But he still only played in, you know, one or two, three games. You know, he hasn't played a ton of football. So, you know, he gives you the feeling of a returning starter, but he hasn't played a ton of football. So there's still a lot to be left to be desired as far as game scenarios that he needs to face. And then obviously add, you know, J.J. McCarthy in here, who J.J.'s come in. He's done a really good job learning the offense, you know, just grasping everything. He's had expression of moments, but he's also had some big-time moments that display, you know, his five-star ability and his skill set. And so he's a kid with tremendous talent, but it's about catching him up, you know, getting him caught up, you know, in the understanding. Every day is a new day when you're a freshman. Because you don't have the bank reps or the repeated opportunities, you know, to be able to grasp from other practice scenarios. And obviously, with more of the defensive install that goes in, the picture changes as well. But then also with Dan Villari. And so, you know, having Dan, who was a redshirt freshman last year, this spring has been totally new for him. Because what often people don't understand is when you're a redshirt freshman and you're the scout team quarterback, you're not going through your offense. You're going through the opposing team's offense. And you're, you know, you're running plays on cards. And so, you know, we really have two freshmen right there with Dan Villari and J.J. McCarthy that are battling it out with Cade. And so the biggest thing is making sure we're not putting too much on their plate, making sure we're allowing those guys to be confident, but then also trying to put them in as many game-like scenarios where they have to make quick decisions and, most importantly, protect the football and move the offense forward.
What is it, because I know you've only got just a couple of practices. This is coming out on Thursday, so you've got a practice on Thursday. You've got a final practice, which I know will be in the big house on Saturday. When spring ball is over, what is it that you, because I know that it for coaches, it's got to be a little bit hands-off from now until fall camp. What do you want to see your leaders do this summer to continue to take all of the gains that you've made during spring football and make some more gains this summer going into fall camp?
I would love to see our leaders just take over the team. You know, just, you know, let the alpha males emerge. Let's have great leadership, great belief, and not just great leadership when things are good, but our willingness to be able to face adversity, you know, head on. I think that's an area of a program as far as culture that we have to continue to emphasize. You know, our culture hasn't been what we've wanted it to be. And so, you know, you've seen our players take it over this spring with the energy they've created in practice. You've seen, you know, just the excitement, the competitive nature. And that's got to be driven by the players, you know, because at the end of the day, those are the guys that are playing within the lines that, you know, put the game on the line for us. And so, you know, just continue to take the step forward as a team, not just one side of the ball, not offense, defense, or special teams, but for us all to grow together as a team, to have true belief in each other, have true trust in each other, and all be committed to one purpose, not just committed to, hey, I want the ball. If I'm not going to get the ball, then I'm going to be upset, or I want to be this, I want to be that. But when we ultimately put the team first, individual recognition will come with team success. So for every guy that wants to achieve a certain goal individually, if they just put the team first, it'll come if we have success. And so that's our biggest challenge going through the offseason, is continue to grow together as a team and continue to have that belief and develop the culture that we want to have as a team and be known for.
Well, Josh, I appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this offense is next fall. But I'm looking forward. I'll get a chance to be there on Saturday and again watch you guys practice. So best of luck, and again, health to your guys, and look forward to seeing you down there.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, as always, I want to thank Josh Gattis for spending some time with us today and going through the entire offensive roster, letting us know about that speed at the wide receiver position, the talent in the running back room, the depth of the offensive line, the skill set of those tight ends, and obviously the development of those quarterbacks. All of that has to come together and continue to come together before we get to fall camp, and I believe the leaders on this team are going to do what has to be done to give Michigan the best opportunity possible to start this season off and have a great 2021 football season. For you, the listener, make sure you keep things tuned in right here for all your Michigan football information. We're efforting to get Coach Harbaugh here in the coming weeks. We'll also bring some more of these football players, some more of the offensive and defensive football players as we get a chance to talk to them of their experience in spring football and what they're going to be doing this summer looking ahead to fall camp. So stay right here for Michigan football on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.